It is time to bring in Dr. Judy Werpman, Food for Mood. Judy is the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com. Also, Simon Loses His Tummy, and Before Her Voice Was Still, and she joins us here on a Thursday morning. Good morning, Dr. Werpman.
Good morning, and I just have to quickly tell you that when our puppy was really a baby puppy, she managed to crawl under the bed and chew the wires that connected our phone, our cordless phone, you know, to a plug. And it took us, you know, three people to sort of move the bed away so I could get at the plug and get a new phone plugged in. And then I discovered all this dust under the bed that, of course, had been there since I had never moved the bed to vacuum. So in a sense, it was a good thing. But that's my story.
But, you know, the level is remarkably resourceful, you know, things that you wouldn't even think of. And
oh, yes.
One of the current cat issues is that I have no idea why, but he retrieves. He has some strain of Labrador in him, and my good pen is now missing. He will walk out. I kid you not. He will walk out of the office when I forget to shut the door, which is way too often, with an implement that I need. And it's just, you know, see a cat walking, strutting by with a pen it's a bit much. I just like to go on record saying it's a bit much.
You'll probably find pens. And
I know.
What else.
It's okay when he's using his corks, but when he takes my pen, not so much.
I know. Anyway, it's a joy and the frustration of having
yes, simultaneously. And speaking of which, it's a good segue to your topic because I had this very argument with my sister who would not. She was bursting into tears spontaneously. And all of her people were saying, hey, you should go back on something. And she's like, no, I'm going to put on weight.
Yes, exactly. Well, you know, the reason I wrote to you about the problem people might face, maybe your sister, you know, if they have to go back on an antidepressant, because oftentimes depression occurs and reoccurs, it can be a lifetime problem. And they have perhaps just gotten to the point where they lost the weight they gained when they were on their antidepressant months earlier. Oftentimes, it takes not just weeks and months to take off the weight that many antidepressants inadvertently sort of make you gain without you even being aware of the fact that you're gaining it. And I got an email from somebody saying, what am I going to do? She said, I gained about 25 pounds. I really worked diligently to get the weight off. You know, it's about a year later. I find my mood has really changed. I'm fighting the need to go back on antidepressants. I really don't want to have to gain weight again. I really don't want to have to go through this whole process of losing it again. What am I going to do? And I was thinking about it, and it occurred to me, okay, one obvious solution, if there is some such, is to find an antidepressant that doesn't cause weight gain or causes just a minimal amount. And, you know, you keep sort of searching the literature and say, well, maybe there's a new drug that doesn't have that weight gain profile. And it is something that your sister could really look into. But the second thing is that there really is a responsibility, I think, of the mental health practitioner or the psychiatrist or the psychologist or whoever's prescribing the medication to say, look, you know, I know you gained the weight the last time. You know, I was aware of it. I didn't want to say anything. I didn't want you to go off the medication while you were taking it. But look, we have all the information about how much weight you gained, when it started, what you were eating, what it did to your exercise levels, or you did to your food cravings, or what it did to your inability to feel satisfied after having a meal. Maybe it actually affected your sleep and you were more tired than usual. Let's put all those factors together. Let's develop a plan to prevent you from gaining weight the second time around. I mean, you have a choice. Now we have information. We really have a choice to actually be active and prevent you from gaining the weight, or to simply ignoring it again. And frankly, I think if the practitioner says, "Oh well, you know, it might have been just, you know, a random event. We don't have to worry about it," I think that person should be held responsible, because it's like almost, you know, somebody who's gained weight again just because she went off a diet and then a year later the weight suddenly reappeared. You have to analyze what were the factors that caused the weight gain. And we know that when people take the antidepressant, it really affects their appetite. So they begin to have food cravings. They're tired. It's really hard for them to exercise as much. They sometimes will eat a meal and think, oh, I really don't feel full. My stomach feels full. My brain keeps saying, eat something. And that's what should happen at the very beginning of the new drug regimen. First of all, as you know, Jill, no practitioner has a scale in his or her office at all. And so it's incumbent upon the patient to say to Dr. So-and-so, look, I weigh 125 pounds right now. This is the first day of taking my medication. I am going to weigh myself, and I am every week, and I am going to send you my weight through the email relationship that we have. I am going to download an app on my cell phone or my computer, what have you, and I'm going to track what I'm eating, and I'm going to track how my eating might be changing because of the antidepressant. I'm also going to track the amount of physical activity I get, you know, how many steps I'm walking, how many staircases I'm climbing or biking or what have you. And I'm going to show you how my fatigue, which may be caused by this antidepressant, is affecting my exercise. And then after a few weeks, I want you to sit down with me and work out a plan to stop the weight gain, to give me more energy, to help me sleep better, or send me to somebody who will do this. We're not putting our heads in the sand the second time around.
Yeah, and all of that is really good guidance, of course, and I will say that she did all of it, and it was, you know, including talking to someone who was a professional who had the same problem. I can't remember what it was, but there's one version that, I don't know, it's a like a time-release version, and there's another version,
yeah.
And that there was huge discussion around it. And what ended up happening, yeah, exactly. Lots of talk, no action.
No action on whose part?
Everybody's.
Everybody.
So basically, the spontaneous bursting into tears continued.
Well, then she has a right to find somebody who will pay attention to her.
Oh, I know.
You know, it's like somebody who has a knee replacement and goes to a physical therapist, and the physical therapist said, you know, I'm not going to bother doing anything for you. You know, you had the knee replaced the last time, your other foot, and, you know, you suffered in pain for several months, but, you know, eventually it went away, so we can just forget about it this time. You would never accept that kind of response from a physical therapist after you had a major operation replacing a joint. Why should you accept it? These practitioners should be held responsible. Sure, they'll say, oh, we don't dare talk about it because people won't come back to us and they'll stop taking their medication. Well, would you say that to somebody who has chemotherapy and then discovers 5 years later another tumor and lost the hair the first time and it's just grown back, and your sister, let's say, God forbid, goes to the doctor and says, well, I don't really want to go back on chemotherapy because my hair just grew back. You know,
yeah.
Would that make any sense? Well, obviously not. Well, the point is that there is help. There's no reason why your sister should gain weight again. I'd be happy to talk to her. There's no reason, knowing what she did the first time, that she should be just as vulnerable. Because part of what happened the first time is that nobody was paying attention. Or if she was paying attention, but nobody's paying attention to her. And that is just not acceptable.
No, it was a really interesting particularly because at that time she was staying with someone who is a psychologist and who deals with this and was on the phone with her long-term psychopharmacologist. It was fascinating how they all got themselves talking into inaction rather than it just seemed to me that it lacked creativity.
Okay, but there's something else to think about. Let's say you have an operation to replace your knee by a orthopedic surgeon. That orthopedic surgeon is not going to do physical therapy with you.
Right.
He's going, or she's going to send you to a specialist. And I think the same thing has to be true with these psychologists or health, you know, mental health care providers. They are not trained to do any kind of nutritional diet, weight loss support therapy, I mean, at all. I mean, they are just as vulnerable to all the misinformation that's on the internet and, you know, through magazines and what have you as anybody else. They, you know, are just as much denial probably about their own weight as somebody else's weight. You have to go to somebody who knows what he or she is, you know, has some expertise, know what he or she is talking about. And maybe that is the issue. Maybe all of them felt really helpless. Well, what are we going to do about this woman? We don't really know. Maybe she went on the paleo diet. Maybe she stopped eating bacon. I don't know. You know, they don't have a clue. And that's why probably they just threw up their hands and said, oh, well.
Yep.
You know, but maybe you could figure it out.
Yep. Yeah, I think
they are... they can't be faulted for it any more than a physical, than a surgeon can be faulted for not knowing how to help you learn how to work on crutches or strengthen your quadriceps or something. But it doesn't mean that the specialists aren't out there. And that's what they should be faulted for, not saying, we'll find somebody to help you.
Couldn't agree more. Thank you very much.
Okay. Good
luck. Bye-bye. Dr. Judy Wertman, Food for Mood.
And you can hear Judy, of course, every Thursday morning here on Robin Hood Radio or online, robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Wertman.